Hope everyone's having a great night. Welcome to Studio D. Tonight in studio, your host, Degenerate Al, along with Maniac and Topher. Lots of stuff to talk about tonight. Obviously, big things going down in the NBA yesterday with Kyrie Irving going to the Boston Celtics. We'll be talking some Buffalo Bills. Reggie Ragland still on the third string. Shady, more Bolden reaction. And also, we'll be talking about some Sabres. What's the big holdup right now with Mr. Jack Eichel? And Ryan Russillo, a worker for ESPN, was found in a condo in Wyoming this morning with his pants at his ankles. And he was not able to talk. So that's pretty big news. So tonight's show sponsor, Rock Bottom. Why? 2-for-1 drink specials, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 9 to 11. Let's go. So first thing we got to talk about tonight, we typically do not start with the NBA here on Trainwreck Sports, but let's get into Kyrie Irving going to the Boston Celtics and a blockbuster deal. We knew something like this was going to happen eventually, but how about Boston fans burning Isaiah Thomas jerseys? Like, typically you see jerseys being burned if, you know, you're LeBron James and you leave a team in a shitty way. Isaiah Thomas had nothing to do with it. And jerseys are just being torched.
You gotta love the NBA offseason. And that's a good look for Cleveland, too, especially because they were the other city part of this trade. And people were putting down, like, pieces of paper saying, thank you, Kyrie, on the jerseys as, like, a joke. Like, oh, we're not burning them anymore. So, definitely a good look for Cleveland compared to Boston. Gotta love the NBA offseason, like, though.
Oh, it's...
What a trade for Cleveland, by the way. Like, they pried away the Brooklyn pick, which you would think from Danny Ainge... Right when he got that in the Paul Pierce trade, what, in like 2013? Mm-hmm. So the last 4 years, you would think that's the most valuable asset in NBA history. He wouldn't give that away for anything. And Cleveland got that pick for a guy who didn't even want to play there anymore. So it's honestly brilliant, regardless of whether IT stays next year, whether he even does good this year with LeBron. Like, brilliant trade for Cleveland. And Boston got better too, so...
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Isaiah Thomas. He's in a contract year. Kyrie Irving's not long-term either, right?
Three years. He's got three more years.
He's in a player option in 1920, right? So after 19, technically, he could bounce. But he did kind of go there saying he wanted to stay more long-term. You got to think, if LeBron walks, Isaiah's going to walk as well. And it's just going to be a complete rebuild for that team after this year.
I have no idea how Cleveland pulled off that trade. Everyone knew Kyrie wanted to leave. The talk was real. It wasn't just a one-time rumor where you heard it flake up and then you didn't hear it again. You're hearing this every day. They were trying partner after partner for the deal. There were a ton of non-contenders that were in the discussions. I remember hearing the Suns at one point. Like, you know, yeah. Irving would never have wanted to go to any of those teams. So it's just unbelievable that not only were they able to get a massive haul for him with, you know, basically, Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie are on a wash. Obviously, Kyrie's much better at creating his own shot and can put up like 30 a lot easier. However, for them to still pull off that deal knowing that Kyrie, wanted out of Cleveland so bad, it's a pretty phenomenal deal by the Cleveland front office.
The question I have is, now I said that I think the Celtics got better. A lot of people don't think that because they got rid of like Crowder and another big guy. What are we thinking? Say it's Celtics-Cavs again in the Eastern Conference Final. Do the Celtics have enough to take it to like 6 or 7 this year?
I'd say 5-6 max. I still like.
You still think it's the same bubble as last year?
Yes, I still think the Cavs are pretty much locks to go to the finals again next year against the Warriors. After this year, though, you're thinking Irving's long term with Boston. LeBron goes to the West Coast, which means it's now Boston clear path to the Eastern Conference or to the NBA Finals for the next 3-4 years potentially with Kyrie being 25 years old.
And that's not what Silver wants. That's not what the fans want. They don't want this monotonous NBA that's just the same four teams every season. Again, it's looking like it's going to be Cleveland, Golden State in the finals again with Golden State rolling.
Yep.
You know, people simply don't want these obvious outcomes in the NBA, unlike the fact that we do want milk with our spaghetti, you know?
I think with that trade, too, right. Crowder is a exactly huge... Right. Crowder's a big addition for Cleveland. He's a guy that can play some defense, can shoot the three ball. I mean, I see Crowder as a guy that can maybe potentially D up like a Durant or a Klay Thompson on the outside, which Cleveland's been lacking defense in those finals. Obviously, I don't think that, you know, they still realistically have a chance, but
all the haters
say it all the way. I mean, what are they, minus 200 next year to win the finals?
All the LeBron haters who say, like, oh, Kyrie was the one who had ice in his veins. He was the one who hit that shot in the finals to win it. I mean, that's the only argument you could really make to say, like, oh, Cleveland has less of a chance now because they don't have that Kyrie X factor clutch gene.
I still think
I don't agree with that at all. No. I agree with your point. I think they have a better chance. I think they got better. Brilliant trade for the long term, too.
For Cleveland.
For Cleveland. Yes. With the pick.
The pick is crucial, yes.
LeBron's inner circle describing his mindset this offseason as obsessed. What are you guys thinking for this season?
What does he mean by that?
Like, yeah, is he obsessed with getting his wife's, like, you know, small businesses off the ground in Miami? Is he obsessed with doing great work for, like, the Boys and Girls Club? Like, you know, we need any more details here from the inner circle. They're really letting us down.
I couldn't even tell you what that really means. He's obsessed with, I mean, he got rid of Kyrie. Was that his plan? I don't know. Let's talk.
That Kyrie video at the wedding was the final straw. That was really the straw that broke the camel's back. LeBron was probably doing his workouts, he was doing his McGregor workout.
Yeah.
Or he was doing his McGregor shimmy.
His sparring.
In the gym, yeah. And he's just like, I can't.
The Asian Weekend?
Shout out to the Asian Weekend, Downing a Goose Bomber. So let's move on past the NBA, though.
Okay.
People have had enough.
Right. Yeah. People have had enough.
Where's Glenn? He's got to be living.
He's sucked.
Let's go.
So, what's going on at One Bills Drive lately? We got Cordy Glenn, Matthews, Gaines, all back at practice. One of the big headlines recently now, though, is Ragland still has a lot of work to do. Leslie Frazier came out with a comment. I think a topic that we talked about a few weeks back was this new regime is trying to get rid of all of Rex's players. And you can see that, like, I feel like Ragland is on the hot seat big time and would not surprise me if he's cut before the season starts whatsoever.
No obligation to Ragland at all. Nope. And not only that, but they are trying to right the ship. They want to show that they're in control. So if they can make a move, not necessarily that you want to be cutting people just to prove that you can, but you have Watkins getting traded, who was clearly someone they didn't see long-term with the organization. You have Bolden retiring out of nowhere, so clearly he wasn't privy to the knowledge of the Watkins trade and simply didn't like the way things were happening. But you kind of have to get back in control of the ship here, and maybe that's a way to do that with something with Ragland.
Get your foot off the wood.
Okay.
How about that tweet today, though? They retweeted... Or they posted the same exact worded tweet.
Same exact worded tweet as
was
the...
Was it the... Like, I get... They
with
were
the
trolling.
Face. With the face, like...
It was the worst troll ever.
Yeah, it was the worst troll ever, right? People hated it. I'm always on. We got viewers asking, is McCoy on the trading block? This is a popular topic. The Bills would be stupid not to be listening to offers right now. They would be absolutely foolish. McCoy is not... I hate to say it. I don't view the Bills as having success this year. I think that's pretty obvious. He's not in the long-term plans for the Buffalo Bills' success. Like, I'm sorry, he's not. He's a phenomenal player. I think that he's been a good attitude, except for sending invites to an all-girls party, like, the first time when he came here.
But what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that. Literally nothing wrong with that. Just a questionable character move. But with that said, you know, you got to be looking for a trade bargain room. Someone like, I mean, you can't tell me Green Bay is not interested in potentially acquiring McCoy for like a second.
I saw that,
third.
But Pro Football Talk came out and said the Bills are not listening to any offers or anything like that. I agree. It'd be idiotic not to, but, you know, they're trying to say that we're still going for it this season and, you know, we're not giving up, we're not tanking and whatnot.
Shows the difference between the NFL and the NBA. In the NBA, you can have a guy saying he wants out and that we're trying to trade him and they can still get a humongous haul. You can't say that in the NFL, no. We're trying to trade the guy. Because then they know that it's slim for the pickings.
So, what do you think you could get for Shady? If you were to deal Shady, what could you get in return?
I think the best you could get is a terrible team's fourth.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking
mid-round.
Yeah.
You can get a good team's third. I guess the best team is a low third.
As explosive as he is a running back, dime a dozen. That's about right.
How old now?
29.
Al Jacoby must be smoking something.
Yeah, second rounder. Running backs in the league are not valued that much. Especially with big bucks and a lot of miles.
Al Jacoby must be around a smoke monster. I mean, a trade would only create $1 million in cap space trading McCoy. I mean, it's just...
Oh, yeah, it's not worth that.
It's really not. He's all you got. You trade McCoy. I mean, like you said earlier, fans are already thinking this season's over. Like, you get rid of him.
I mean, when the Patriots come around, like, in the second half of the season,
I mean,
it's going to be like the Sombreros versus the I-90 Indians out there.
How about Darnold already being on the cover of ESPN the magazine? A lot of hype going into this year. A lot of pressure going on that guy. Funny would it be he goes back to school? F everybody. How about Kaiser in Cleveland starting Saturday? Maniac, where's Brock going?
Where's Brock going? So the big news out of Cleveland, they acquired Brock. Now, the move to acquire Brock, if I recall correctly, he was kind of thrown in as, like, you got to take this guy. Like, you know, right, you got to take this big garbage off our hands so they can get rid of him. Now it's like he's not even going to start, and they're trying to trade Brock. Like, I don't understand how they're going to make that work. Brock Osweiler, no one's had such a fall from grace as him as being, you know, Denver's guy to being completely out of the league. It's a disaster. Remember when he beat the Patriots a couple years ago?
I was just going to say, his peak was the Sunday night game in the snow, beating the undefeated Patriots.
Last question about the Bills. Who will start and be the number two cornerback for Buffalo?
Reggie Corner.
Will it be Gaines? Kevin Seymour? Sharice White?
You already snow.
All right, enough.
Gaines if he's healthy.
Okay, let's get on to something that positive and actually has hope. Yep. And the government, I'm saying this, but I'm fully invested in, all aboard, Buffalo Sabres hockey, baby.
So what's the Eichel holdup? What is going on right now? What is taking so long? Both sides say they want 8 years. Clearly, it's a money thing.
My inside source is telling me that the final, you know, negotiating part is that Eichel wants a 15% stake in both 716 and Sear.
Pro Sports.
Yeah, and at Pro Sports, for sure. As well as veinsveinsveins.com.
And supposedly Eichel's put some money in the HSBCH room as well.
Oh, man.
Can't go wrong investing in the greenhouse.
It's a little Western standoff over money, though. Western standoff over money. Usually the Pegulas panic in this. You know, they've had a rough week with the Bills. They got to, like, overcompensate for the fans. I'm surprised they didn't give Eichel, like, $13 million already per year.
I don't know.
So this is good. This is actually a good sign, I think, because, like we were saying, it's going to happen. It's going to be 8 years long term.
I think Botterill expects Eichel to take a hometown discount. You know?
He's not going to, though. He doesn't like Buffalo. Did we forget this secretly, that he's actually a huge Boston fan, on the inside?
We're not talking about that. So how about Will Butch in the Denver airport?
Will Butch.
Is
it a Will Butcher?
Yeah, it's Will Butcher, but it's Will Butch. In the Denver airport, supposedly, he's down
Willie McButch.
He's down to his final three teams, Sabres, Devils, or Golden Knights.
Is that the most random three teams you've ever heard about a free agent being interested in? I mean, Vegas I can get, cool city, but like...
You want to live in Vegas, Buffalo, or Newark?
It's like, it's so much different from the standard, like, Toronto, Rangers, or Blackhawks, or Penguins. Like, it's a nice change of pace. I like Will Butch.
We got some listeners tuning in here.
Digital Kip.
Digital Kip wants to chug.
There's no sipping in B-Town. I'm going to chug this, Maniac, right now. Who is your top fantasy first-round lock?
For football?
Yes.
The ultimate value guy you can get this year, Cam Newton.
First round?
No, not in the first round.
Answer Digital Kip. Who is your top fantasy first-round lock?
On the spot.
Le'Veon Bell, if you can get him, of course. Like, but that's like only like top three guys. It's tough after the first four picks. What we really need to be focused on here are where do the Sabres need to lock it down? Because we know Eichel's going to be on the team this season, and odds are he's going to play very well. Where are the other couple positions where the Sabres really need some success out of to like take the next step this year? I'm going to say the obvious one after last year. goaltending in the shootouts.
Literally, what? We were very like 0-8.
That's good.
Well, just by the fact that like we should go 50-50 versus being, you know, 0-8.
How many shots did Leonard consecutively let up? He didn't stop a shot.
Seven in a row?
I don't think he stopped a single shot.
Don't tell me everybody scored on later.
No, he was 0-8. I mean, at one point, I think. He didn't stop a shot.
Remember, people weren't even shooting the puck and they were scoring. Remember that sick? I mean, it looked cool.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy on Tampa just like
let it.
His goals against average was worse than mine as a fan. And you know how bad that was.
Oh, you've had a bad couple years.
I
feel bad.
To your question, though. I'm going to say we need to see improvement out of the defense, obviously. And we hear about all the potential with the young guys coming up with like their speed and puck moving ability. We got to see it, though, on the ice, obviously.
And I really do. I hate to say it this year because I actually like the guy. I like what I've seen from him so far. Gergensen needs to take another step forward this year after the 2-year extension that we just signed. He's got to be a leader in the squad.
He's got to be
a figurehead.
Did he decline because of Bylsma? Was it a coaching issue?
I think nobody gelled under Bylsma, from what you could tell, right? Didn't it seem like when Bylsma was in charge, like everything was just out of whack?
He was also the most like prolific offensive player on those tank teams, so that kind of inflated him a little bit.
We got viewers viewers chiming in.
Dan Bylsma from
Alden,
Bowling Green,
Bowling Green State University, Maxion baby. Final topic of the night. Final topic of the night. Have either of you ever woken up in a random condo naked with your pants at your ankles?
Well, are you naked if your pants are at your ankles?
Yeah, I think you are. I don't think that really counts.
Yeah, it's public nudity. So
it is. It definitely is. You're naked.
A condo in Wyoming, right?
Condo in Wyoming, of all places.
Yeah, it's not like a New York, you know, studio apartment or something like that. Yeah, Wyoming condo. Any explanation yet from ESPN? Or is it just another classic, boys will be boys?
So, yeah, Ryan Russillo, ESPN employee, was arrested in Wyoming this morning. Misdemeanor, criminal entry, but it wasn't. He didn't break in. I mean, it sounds like this family might have left the door unlocked. I mean, there's nothing else to really do in Wyoming, so he must have, you know, opened the door, thought it was his place. Supposedly, he had slurred speech like myself right now, glassy, bloodshot eyes like Elber's right now, and he was unable to answer questions like Topher.
Well, so, but I also read, speaking of bloodshot Elber's, that the family members that were living at the house were in bed ready to go to sleep for the night. And they heard somebody come in. They thought it was another family member. Instead, they're like, all right, whatever, we'll just go to bed. And then all of a sudden, the door opens up, and it's a naked Ryan Russillo with his pants at his ankles. Like, can you imagine that? You're like, you're getting ready to go to bed, and you see that.
Secretly, that's also the first 3 minutes to every episode of Forensic Files.
That's a tucked person's worst nightmare.
They heard a man come home who they thought was a family member.
A tucked person's worst nightmare right there.
I mean, have you ever woke up drunk somewhere where you, like, didn't expect?
Al?
Like, just...
Have you?
In the last week?
Al, that's a question for you, Al.
Shout out to Benny Z and Brie.
In the last week?
Al.
Oh. Baby, let me get you there.
Thank you.
Uber. But yeah, it happens. Ryan Russell, he won't lose his job. Matt Barnaby did.
All the fam.
But it happens.
Well, Barnaby was doing, you know.
Tracy, 2M. She's woken up somewhere naked somewhere else.
Yep.
Tracy, fill us in real quick. Oh, God. Bisharas are firing. But
a random link.
But real quick, a couple final things to talk about before we hang up.
My dad just posted the link on what team should adopt the Game of Thrones Night King as an NFL quarterback. Said that he's a better cold weather quarterback than Tyrod Taylor.
That's a fire article right there.
Definitely. I'm pinning that one.
All right.
Is that a 2017 dad move or what to post that article like right there?
Well, is he wearing his
GM Smokey when you need the ultimate battle of the
Is he wearing his Reeboks, his cargo shorts?
Sending a random link like that, or my dad saying, "What's your favorite jelly bean, green or yellow?" I don't know. But okay, final things.
I love it.
Real quick, we want to preview a couple shows we're talking about. But first, party at Studio D this Friday. Kicks off at 8 o'clock. We have Ethan Jacobs cooking a lot of good food for that party. Stop in early because you know that food will go quick. And, so Diane, Studio D, Friday night. Hopefully
guys 23 and over, ladies 21 and over.
Yes. Hopefully DJ Supreme can make it. We would really appreciate it. But Maniac, tell the fans, what are we previewing? What do we got coming up?
Well, we have a little bit of an expansion here at Trainwreck Sports. So obviously we've been bringing you, you know, our bi-weekly content here on Trainwreck tonight. But what we're going to be bringing is the ultimate in sports betting lunacy, what we like to call Degenerate Danger Zone. We'll be giving you weekly takes on all the hottest games and the hottest places for you to make money in the sports gambling world.
And Producer Burrs, events occur
in real time.
The first episode was good. Had some good, nice geography talk about the International Dateline and the Continental Divide.
Mason-Dixon line, equators.
Anything to make a little money.
Hey, man.
That's true. And then the final show we got coming for you is be coming out Thursday night or Friday morning. Both these episodes, we have...
Special edition.
We also have a Mayweather-McGregor... We have a Mayweather-McGregor preview Degenerates. Coming Thursday night or Friday morning. You know what? I'm done. Good night now.